Welcome to Well-Versed, where we bring biblical principles of governance to governmental leaders and you. This is the Well-Versed podcast.
I'm excited to go to Patrick Mahoney. Patrick, I don't know when we first met. I cannot remember when that was. Patrick's been a buddy for a long time. He's remarkable. He's just a fun guy to be with. Sometimes we tussle on Facebook. I don't even know what about. Sometimes we argue and debate, but every time we come out of it, we're still best of friends. And I have such respect for him. He has stood on this issue. Patrick, let me just start with this. How many times have you been arrested and gone to jail, saving the lives of babies?
You know, I love being on a program where the first question is, how many times have you been arrested? So anyway, hey, it's all uphill from this point. Well, someone just asked me that the other day, actually, about 109 or 110 times. I'm not exactly sure. And we followed the principles of Dr. King. So we didn't pay bail or fines. So not only with those arrests, but I owe about $7 million in fines.
Oh, okay. I didn't ask that question on purpose.
Which is why I don't own anything because
I get it. I wonder, now this you wouldn't be able to know, but I wonder how many hundreds, thousands of lives you have saved. Because I was an observer of the arrest of Operation Rescue during the day. I was observing. I would testify on their behalf in court. So once a month on a Saturday, went to the abortuaries, the killing centers, and we pled with young women and young men, and we saw many, many lives saved, some remarkable stories. But you've been at a long duration. You would have no idea, but it's going to be interesting when you arrive in heaven someday, how many people you're going to meet that had life and then eternal life.
It's a beautiful thought. Pastor Jim, we do have some indication, according to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, if a woman misses her first appointment at the clinic, 20% of them go full term. So one of the principles of Operation Rescue, outside of repentance and offering a servant's heart, was that simple premise: if we were there and the abortion center didn't open, if there were, 10 abortions, let's say, scheduled that day, there were 2 lives saved. And what we did throughout the years, we would have the mothers come and share at our meetings. And one of our big events was in Wichita, Kansas, in 1991. We had tens of thousands of people come out to that event. And that was exciting. But here was the best part. I went back a year later, and we had a big rally at the 5,000 seat Wichita Center. And the guests of honor, there were 135 women. I'm sure there were more, but 135 women with their children who had their babies when we were there in Wichita. And it was that Pastor Jim is what drives me. By the way, friends on the internet, Pastor Jim does keep me accountable, and he's very delicate and nice about it. He sends me on Messenger. He doesn't go public, and he shares, he's really good. And he reminds me, and I have a wonderful pastor, and I have a lot of good Christian friends, and it's good. By the way, Roland's talk was fantastic and so moving and beautiful. The only sad part, he brought up men's hair club as a person challenged. I remember those commercials very well. And they were always extremely depressing when he would go, not only did I buy the company, but I'm a member and he's got this full set of hair. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm going to the arrest question to start, Pastor Jim. That just, put everything out there.
Well, it's always a delight hanging out with you. Now, you live in Washington, D.C. You have prayer meetings continually in front of the White House, in front of the Capitol. Nancy Pelosi refused to allow you to have a prayer meeting recently. You've been doing it every year forever. But she's king and she wouldn't allow you to do it. Do I have the facts right there?
Yeah, it was really sad. Actually, we're involved in serious litigation right now. We sued for our Good Friday service, which we had for years. We sued Speaker Pelosi in her official capacity and Vice President Harris. It's hard to believe, Pastor Jim. I'm still wrapping my brain around it. We put a permit application in to have a prayer vigil on the 20th memorial of 9/11 on the grounds of the United States Capitol, and we were denied. Here's the permit right here. And here's what we asked for. I know this is a little off topic, but prayer vigil and remembrance for all those who perished on 9/11 and to pray for God's protection over America, and also to pray for Christians, women and children living in Afghanistan who are facing violence and brutality. There is my permit, and that was declined by the United States Capitol Police. My wife and I, we still had a memorial. We couldn't have the event that we wanted to have, and we filed suit and were pressing on with that. So on our national archives, it says this: eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And people think because it's on paper or it's part of our founding principles, if we don't stand, if we don't act on it, we'll lose them. And brothers and sisters who are watching this, we are losing our freedoms. We would have never dreamed during the pandemic that churches would be considered non-essential services. We would have never dreamed that pastors would go to prison and jail for simply having church services. Am I still with you? I'm not quite sure.
Yes, you're with
us. Okay. So we continue to press on with that. And maybe I don't want to take too much time for other things, so maybe I'll get into tonight. So on May 14th, I was home. I actually work in DC, but I live in Virginia. And I felt the Lord put on my heart. I don't get audible voices. I'm charismatic in my experience, but I'm a Presbyterian minister, Reformed Presbyterian. So I'm we never talk theology. I don't even know if I want to get into that. But anyway, I'm a Calvinist.
Yeah. Patrick, why I'm not a 5-point Calvinist? I was predestined to be a Wesleyan Arminian. I had no choice.
I'll go along with that.
Okay, but go ahead.
It was a Friday, May 14th. I'm at home, and I felt the Lord put on my heart, go to pray at the Supreme Court for the Dobbs case. In May 2020, they submitted the case to the Supreme Court for the justices to grant what's called cert, to grant to hear it. And it had been languishing there for almost a year. And I got internally in a little rumble with the Lord because I said, traffic's so bad on Friday. Pastor Jim, you know what traffic's like in DC, and especially on a Friday. Well, Southern California, same thing. And I said, okay, I'll go up. And I went up and I felt the Lord put on my heart, pray for the Dobbs case. There is favor. There is favor on the life issue, and you need to move and act. So thank God for Facebook Live and videos. I wasn't like a prophet who said President Trump would be president in 2017 when he won in 2016. I had it right there. And I said, Lord, let us take the Dobbs, let the court take it. There is this season of favor. That's Friday, May 14th. Monday, May 17th, the first time that the court could have even acted on that request after the Friday, I hear early 10 a.m., the Supreme Court has granted cert for the Dobbs case. So immediately I
what the Dobbs case is.
Sure. It's Dobbs v. Jackson. I'll make it real simple. I know you have an attorney on later, but it basically bans most abortions after 15 weeks. It was brought by the state of Mississippi. And here's what happened. So it was a critical case because unlike almost every other pro-life case, abortion case that comes to the court, this deals specifically with the child. Most other cases are like the Louisiana Clinic case, which said abortion clinics should have the same regulations as other ambulatory centers, informed consent, but this focused on the child. So we were excited about it. So then the case came forward, but here's what happened. Here's why I'm so energized. So I felt God was doing something, and God put on my heart, Pastor Jim, abortion is a spiritual issue. I'm involved in all areas of public policy, but abortion is fundamentally spiritual. It's not political. It's not rallies per se. It's not bullhorns or signs. And I'm, you know, for all that, it's ultimately a spiritual battle because God is the creator of life. God is the foundation of life. I love what Roland said. God is the source of life. So when we approach this, we have to approach it from a spiritual perspective. So I felt, okay, let's have a prayer meeting. The court opens their session October 4th. Let's have a large prayer and worship time before the court opens. Well, listen, since I felt the Lord say in my heart, he's given favor on these cases. One, the attorney general from Mississippi said, you know what? You're going to take this abortion ban after 15 weeks. Why don't we just, he asked the court to overturn Roe v. Wade in this case. Then we have the extraordinary events of a couple of weeks ago, which has completely unhinged the pro-abortion movement across the country. The Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, refused to block a Texas law, which banned all abortions after 6 weeks. So suddenly, God is doing this extraordinary thing. And Pastor Jim, we feel, again, getting back to Roland, it is the church. My dear friend, Reverend Keith Tusey, always said this, God's plan for transforming America, plan A is the church and the family. There is no plan B. And so we felt it was critical to come and pray and to cry out to God. Prayer shapes history. Prayer transforms history. I love this Sidlow Baxter quote. I want to read it. Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. And so on October 2nd, which is a Saturday, from 2-4, we are coming to worship and pray. It's not a political meeting. It's not sloganeering. It's not holding signs. We are there to come in repentance and cry out to God and to use our most powerful, the most powerful weapon the pro-life community has outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and his love is prayer. And so we're inviting everyone to come and they can find out about it. It's being put on, this is an interesting name and I'll explain it quickly, by Purple Sash Revolution. They can go to purplesashrevolution.com or they can go to our Facebook event page, Pray to End Abortion, #DismantleRoe. And the reason for the Purple Sash, it's a woman's advocacy and medical group. And they got the purple sashes from the suffragists of 100 years ago. They wore purple sashes for equal rights to gain the vote. On these sashes, it says equal rights for preborn women. And on the back, it says end abortion violence. So they're drawing from this imagery and making this connection. And Pastor Jim, we are excited. We believe that we're in this window of God's favor, of God's blessing. And now the whole nation is focused on this. And so everyone, if you can make it October 2nd, Saturday from 2-4, then we have a church service the Sunday, the next morning. Father Frank Pavone will be having with Priest for Life a rosary that morning. Then we'll have an evangelical church service then a candlelight vigil. But we believe that when we approach abortion, we approach first as Christians, first from a spiritual perspective, from a biblical perspective, from a gospel perspective. I don't consider myself a pro-life activist or leader. I'm a Christian, and I've been called to love my neighbors, myself, according to, and Luke, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus describes who's my neighbor. My neighbor is the person who is most in need. How do I love my neighbor? Jesus lays it out with the parable of the Good Samaritan. So we're inviting everyone to come pray and worship. And Pastor Jim, I do feel an urgent call similar to Joel 2. And how urgent was that? If you're on your honeymoon, cut the honeymoon and come to the solemn assembly. If you're in your, you know, your bride and bridegroom chamber, there's an urgency here. And after 48 years of being connected with this, here's what I have to say, honestly. Whatever the church is not, there's a vacuum. Whatever the church doesn't engage, there's brokenness, there's sin, there's hurt, there's bruising. We were not there in 1973. We were not there in 1992 when the Casey decision was argued. My prayer and my heart, and you can tell I'm very passionate about this, my burden is that we respond now. And then I'll leave with this. Francis Schaeffer said this: every abortion clinic ought to plant a sign in their front yard that says, open by permission of the church. And it is our indifference, our apathy, our self-focus that has allowed this. And at Roland, I think, put it so beautifully, the dovetailing of what we have happening here. So they can go to purple-revolution.com, Facebook, very easy, pray to end abortion, hashtag dismantle Roe. And we are going to be there and to pray. Our weapons are mighty. Prayer is transformative. And again, I love the Sidwell Baxter quote, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, even despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. And we're praying for the 9 justices. We're focusing particularly on Justice Kavanaugh and Chief Justice John Roberts, who will guide this. I want to tell everyone who's watching this, God gave us a little insight. Just this Monday, a radical group protested outside. Can you imagine this? Went to Justice Kavanaugh's home. He's got 2 young children, just to harass and intimidate him. Sadly, these are the kinds of methods we're seeing happen right now. And I think what the Lord did in that, the pro-abortion side is focusing on Justice Kavanaugh. They only need one judge to turn. It was 5-4 on the Texas ban. They only need one justice to turn, and they're focusing on him. I felt in my heart and spirit that although we'll pray for all 9, Justice Kavanaugh is really perhaps the most critical vote here. So hopefully folks will come out. We're working with a Priest for Life and Father Frank right now to live stream it. He's doing that technical end of it. For me, my great technical accomplishment was being on this call. That's how skilled I am with technology. I let my grandkids try to help me navigate. I'm just the worst. But we believe that. And here's the other thing. Pastor Jim, you got to jump in because I'm just going to keep on talking till you tell me to stop. So you got to jump in. But the beauty that we see here is prayer transcends politics. What we see on CNN or MSNBC, the Washington Post, whomever's in the White House. And isn't it fascinating that with the most pro-abortion administration in history, we're seeing the greatest gains on a legislative level and in the Supreme Court because people are praying and crying out to God and seeking him and coming in repentance. And we're going to open our meeting on Saturday on our knees. We're not coming with clenched fists. We're coming in brokenness and repentance, begging God for forgiveness on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I was raised in a Jewish community on the Jersey Shore. In fact, everyone always tells me I look like I should own a Jewish delicatessen. But anyhow, the Day of Atonement, how sacred that is. And we, the church, you know, it's easy to blame politicians or the media or now high tech, seeing what Google is doing with Lila Rose and live action on their pro-life ads. But at the end of the day, it's us. We're the called children. And we have to take spiritual inventory in our hearts. So in a way, the opening part of our prayer time will be right out there in the public square, right in front of the Supreme Court, on our knees. Dear Lord, have mercy. Dear Lord, forgive our nation. Bring healing. And I'm done. Mic drop. There we go.
That was excellent. I so respect and admire you. The date again, October 2, Saturday,
from 2 to 4.
From 2 to 4,
yes, sir.
Eastern time, if you're watching by live stream. And I just want to encourage as many of you as possible, by all means, to go there for that important day. And then the next day, the services, and you'll probably on your website, we'll tell people where the services are and where they
meet. We have all of that. They can either go to purple-revolution.com or it's on the Facebook event page. We know some people don't have Facebook. Some people love it. So we have both the website option and then the Facebook option for people to go to. And we are very open. And if you desire and you feel we're excited. We have 31, well, 32, because I'm putting you on right now, 32 pro-life organizations and individuals, Family Research Council, Live Action, Susan B. Anthony Project, Ryan Bomberger, Abby Johnson, 32 and growing organizations coming for this historic time to cry out to God. And, I'm sorry, I'm picking the mic back up after the mic drop. 2020 was a terrible year for us, our nation, and the church in many ways. We had the pandemic. We had a raucous election season. We had the challenges coming after and a lot of divisiveness within the body of Christ, particularly perhaps the charismatic end and people hearing words from God and different words from God. I believe God is restoring us. And here's a beautiful blueprint that we feel the Holy Spirit's. I'm working with Jason Hershey, Awaken the Dawn, other groups. I just led in prayer with Let Us Worship with Sean Foyt in front of the Supreme Court this past Sunday. We believe the church now is stepping in to the public square after a really painful 2020. God is stirring. He's stirring. He's stirring. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, spontaneous obedience is better than doubt and reflection. So we want to respond to this sacred call.
Patrick, your website or your Facebook page is kind of a long one. So I want to make sure we all got that right. I'm sorry to have you repeat it so many times, but pray to end abortion, hashtag end row. Did I get that right?
Dismantle Roe. You know, Pastor, if they just go on Facebook and say, pray to end abortion, it'll go right there.
Okay.
It'll go right there.
I want you to all notice numbers of times he used the word, keyword repentance. Now, Patrick Mahoney was arrested 109 or 110 times trying to save the lives of babies and save the lives of hundreds or perhaps thousands. He already referenced the incredible amount of fines that hang over him from this. And so people tend to think of Operation Rescue as just blocking the entrances to the abortuaries, the killing centers. That is not it. It took me a while. I would go each Saturday, and I went as an observer, being a liaison, asked by Operation Rescue. I was allowed by the Dallas Police Department. I lived in Dallas, Fort Worth at that time. Dallas Police Department. I would stand 3 feet away. At that time, nobody had phones on their no cameras on their phones. Nobody had cameras, but we happened to own one. And so we were allowed to use one, have a camera in there and videotape every arrest, because some of the early arrests were, in my opinion, were out of line. Now, because of that, I would go meet with the tactical team the Thursday before each Saturday event of the mortuary. There were 12 killing centers in Dallas-Fort Worth, and 9 in Dallas, I recall, and 3 in Fort Worth, I think, is the best I recall. We would not tell where we were going to go, but we would meet. In fact, I didn't know until it was announced Sunday morning. I mean, Saturday morning early, and boom, we'd all go there. On one of the occasions, I was meeting with the captain of the tactical unit. I became a friend of his. And then there was a guy who was the head of Operation Rescue, Dallas at that time. It was originally Flip Benham, who Patrick would know well. But then a young guy, an MIT graduate, very, very brilliant young man, Catholic man. And he and I were sitting with the captain of the tactical unit and 3 or 4 other officers. And we were kind of negotiating our way through. I said, look, we'll pay for the gurneys for you to pick up so you don't unnecessarily hurt people. Your job is not to punish them. That's the court's job. You're just to arrest them. And some of these people are being unnecessarily injured. The particular technique they were using, they were bleeding.
Come along holds.
I'm sorry?
Pressure point, come along holds.
Exactly. And so I said, we'll pay for the gurneys and just roll them on gurneys and take them that way. And we debated, and they wouldn't cooperate with me on that, my idea. They didn't like that. They weren't going to do it. And I was arguing with this captain of the tactical unit when finally this young, slender, single MIT graduate who was heading up now, he was the new guy heading up Operation Rescue in the Dallas area. And he said, stop. He said, Jim, stop trying to defend us. I don't care what you're going to do to us. You can tear us limb for limb if you want to. That is not going to move. And they said, well, we admit that we use the pressure point on drunks and they move. We use the pressure point on homosexual protests and they move. We use it on you guys and it doesn't seem to work. And so we're puzzled by that. He says, listen, we're not here because we're not protesting. You police officers think we're protesting.
Right.
But you say you know how to deal with the homosexuals or the unions or whatever group is protesting. You say you know how to do. We're not protesting. That's why you don't understand about us. We are not here protesting. We're not angry at anybody. We're not blaming the abortionist. We're not blaming the young woman. We're not blaming the young man who pregnant him. We're not blaming the judges. We're not blaming the legislature that created this law. We're not blaming any of those. We think we are responsible as the church for creating this. We're coming as an act of repentance. We're laying our life down. You can do to us whatever you want because we are asking forgiveness for God. We're repenting for the sin of the church. The blood is on our hands. I was just speechless.
That is the foundation.
Is the tonality of the entire Operation Rescue movement. And very few understood it. It was fundamentally an act of laying down your life in repentance for the sin, my sin, the sin of silence, the sin of the church. So as you come to Patrick, he's said several times, repent, repentance, repentance. This is the power. This is what's going to release God's presence upon this. That call to repentance. I hand it back to you, Patrick, to do a little closeout of that. But I just wanted to work that thought in so people are aware.
No, that was very powerful. And you did a better job than any Operation Rescue person could have done. It was beautiful. And Pastor Jim, one thing in looking in history, and this is from the FBI. Operation Rescue has had over 70,000 arrests, okay? Not one conviction, not one, wow, of a violent act at an Operation Rescue event. Not one conviction of a violent act. According to the FBI, Operation Rescue is the most peaceful social protest. That's how they refer to it, Whedon movement in American history. And part of that, because you hit it so perfectly, Pastor, it wasn't a protest movement. It was a movement of repentance. In fact, during our time in Wichita, we were there for several months. Probably most of the time, we didn't even talk about abortion. We talked about biblical obedience. We talked about repentance. We talked about surrender. We talked about God calling us to lay our lives down. And so I have to say this. Sadly, in our movement, we've sort of strayed from that a little bit. And even though we're much more sophisticated on messaging and memes and graphics and all this, one of the other things we're hoping for the prayer gathering at the Supreme Court is to sort of renew and call back to the core principle of the of what I believe is the pro-life movement: repentance, the gospel, and prayer. And that's what we're hoping for. So thank you for having me. And we hope to see folks out and on those two things, Facebook, Pray to End Abortion, or Purpose. They'll have the live link. We're working on putting that together right now.
Well, perhaps as we get a little closer, maybe have you come back and just do a quick recap of reminding people and then reminding on the live stream.
Sure.
I imagine priestforlife.org. Priestforlife.org is probably where they can watch the live stream.
I'm sure. Yeah, they're going to be the ones. We've actually, we'll talk a little strategy here for a moment. We didn't want to press that too soon because we want people to physically come. But
yes.
But the closer we get to the event, we want a wide net with everyone.
Well, I want to encourage everybody who possibly can. Washington, D.C., Saturday, October 2, 2 through 4. Patrick Mahoney, much admiration and respect for you. You're a brother and a friend, and I just thank God for your life. We're going to go right to prayer right now. Deborah Soto, would you start it off? Grant Garrett, take it. Lisa, would you wrap this prayer time up? Let's start with Deborah and then Grant and then Holly, if you would. Is that okay?
Okay. Yes. Father, we just humbly come before you, and we are so just humbled by what you're doing tonight.
Yes,
and what you're sharing with us. Father, we just ask you to forgive us as the church, Lord, for thinking that this would be an option for us to abort our children. We cry out for mercy tonight, Lord God, and we ask that you would repair the breaches in our understanding in all that we have. Lord God, we want to honor you. We thank you for Roland and even Patrick, Lord, as they have just displayed such eloquence in their passion and fervor for you. We pray a holy hedge of protection around them and their families, Lord God. We ask you to add in among their troops, Lord God, that they would be not only able to teach those that are coming along for this new understanding and new perspective. Father, would you shed your light on your church in this hour as we find a way to help save what you call precious and beautiful and lovely? I'm reading from Psalm 139, and it says, Jesus, you formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me. And tonight, Lord God, we just ask that you search us, test us, and know us, and that you would find a remnant of life in each one as we take a step towards you. Father, may we be teachable. May we be obedient to your word. May we cherish life as you cherish life. And I'm even looking at verse 15 in Psalm 139. It says, you even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me with nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me, before I'd ever see the light of day. The number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. And Lord, we just ask that the books of life would be formed perfectly in the dreams of your people tonight, and that we would understand the value and preciousness of life, the sacredness that you have chosen for us to become with purpose and intent. And Father, on that mark, we ask for a holy visitation for the Supreme Court this day. God, we cry out for a holy visitation for each and every member on our Supreme Court. Lord God, remove any blockage. Lord, we just ask whatever experience or encounter they've had, Father, we just ask you to shed your truth upon them. And Father, we just repent, Lord, for the spiritual, the mothers and fathers that have had abortions, Lord, that you are resurrecting dry bones in this hour, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you are a God of forgiveness. And with one word of Father, please forgive me, that you hear the cry and you will answer. For you are not a God that would leave us in a muck or a pit, Lord God, but you will reach your hand down and lift us up out of the mire. And Father, you are calling the voices to be restored after you repair the hearts, so that each one may know that their voice is valuable and important. And Lord God, we ask that a righteous pro-life voice would come from those who have encountered this violence in their own life, that you would repair the breaches, Lord God. And the last scripture I want to say is Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. It's every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. Amen.
Jesus.
So before we pray, before the call, we have pre-prayer and we were praying. And one of the things that came up, which was a focus, was the blood of Jesus. And I love what Roland said, the abundant life is in the blood of Jesus. And the thought occurred to me that the blood of Jesus is ever flowing. He has a blood bank like no other blood bank. It continues to heal, bring forgiveness and deliverance from people. And so we are so thankful. And it's like a blood bank that doesn't need to call for blood, because the blood has already been shed and continues to flow. So we thank you, Jesus, that you were doing that. We pray the blood of Jesus over the Supreme Court, Lord, that you would touch their lives. Lord, even what they might think in their minds, let the blood of Jesus cover that and show them you are the one who brings abundant life, and that bring an end to this unnecessary death. And Lord, I pray also for fathers, Lord, that we would be strong advocates to bring discipleship, that the family would be revered and brought into the proper place, even for single moms, Lord, that are looking and contemplating what they're going to do, or if they're pregnant, you would bring families back into life. And we thank you, Lord, that you can do what, and you give us the authority to do things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for Patrick Mahoney, Father. I thank you, Father, that he has advocated and stood in the gap many, many, many times, Father, put his reputation on the line for these precious babies, Father God. Lord Jesus, I also want to pray right now for the Supreme Court decision and these legislative things that are going to be coming out. I pray, Father, specifically for Brett Kavanaugh. I ask for a holy protection around his family, God. I pray that you would wrestle in his heart, Father.
Yes,
I pray, Jesus. Lord, in 1973, when the Supreme Court justices were compromised on the original Roe v. Wade, you're going to turn that back. You're going to turn it back for righteousness and justice to reign and rule in our nation, Father. Lord, I thank you for the worship that went out this weekend, Father, for the many prayers and thousands of people gathered to pray at the Supreme Court. Lord, the worshipers went before. And God, we just pray for this gathering on October 2nd I pray for Abby Johnson. I pray for Priests for Life and anybody that's gathering, Father, for a sober time to come before you, Father, to cry out for repentance on the unnecessary evil blood that was shed on this land, Father God, and abortion, Lord. And we ask that you would turn the tide, Father, that the law of the land, that abortion would be overturned, Father God. Lord, we know that this is your will. And so we declare and we pray, Father, Father, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Lord God, I just pray for any obstacle that would come between now and these decisions, Father, that the enemy would be thrown into confusion, that righteousness, truth, justice would prevail, Father, that you, Father, would stand up for life and that you would turn our nation back to God, Father. We come humbly before you, Lord. We trust you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask that you would be glorified in all things, Father, that the nations would see, wow, what are you doing in this land, Father, that you would make our land that stands for life, liberty, and justice, Father. Again, I just pray for Patrick Mahoney. I pray for his family. I thank you for his ministry, Lord. I ask that you would cover him with your angels, Father, both his going and his coming, Lord. I pray for everyone on this call, Lord. And we also want to stand in the gap for women. Women, yes, that have been hurt by abortion, God, that you see their hearts. You love them, Father. We thank you for adoption, Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful gift, Father. So much courage, Father. We pray for these women to hear your voice and to know the love of Jesus, that the gospel would meet them in their pain and their sorrow and their loss and their tough decisions, Father, that there would be no shame, Father, complete forgiveness, Lord, but God, that you would turn their hearts to you and you towards them, Lord. We pray all of these things in your mighty, precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Holly, for praying for women who've had abortions. And it's not, abortion is wrong, but it's not the unpardonable sin. And healing can come and does come. Full healing and forgiveness comes to those who ask and seek God, whatever the nature of the sin, whether it's that one or what else. Patrick, one last question. My understanding is the court goes back into its term October the 4th.
That's correct.
For a full year. We have no knowledge of when the Dobbs versus Jackson case will come, but it could come in October.
It could come in October. We had a meeting today, and most people, everything has been moving so quickly. Most people are thinking now in December that the case will be heard in December. You are right. This is why we wanted the prayer to concentrate before the court opened in session, so we would be ready and prepared. But most court observers, both secular and Christian, are feeling sometime in December and most likely a late June decision.
Yes, yes. June of 22 is when the decisions would be announced on this. Thank you so much, my brother. I so appreciate you. David,
I have to get going now, but thank you.
Bless you.
And by the way, I love the stories of your mom at 100. That's sort of my dream. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm 68 right now, so we'll have to see what happens. But it's been really encouraging. And it's great. I probably have, but it's great meeting your wife, at least through this, hopefully in person whenever we can. So thank you so much. God bless you.
My mother is hearing you right now. So she's on this call. She's high tech.
Wow. Wow. Oh, wow. I mean, I'm just like, yeah, you know, she's, you know, going to church, chopping wood, doing everything.
She just came on the screen right now. She just came on the screen. She's waving at you. This lady's high tech. She's one of the top.
She knows more than I do. That's fantastic. All right. Well, God bless everyone.
Hey, thank you, my brother. Bless you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please read the show notes for additional details if you would like a copy of the book or resources mentioned. Remember that Well-Versed is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit organization. We rely on your support and partnership.
Thank you for listening to the Well-Versed podcast. For more information, please go to www.wellversedworld.org.